We praise your name, Father, and give you all the honor and glory in this place, because your name is the only one worthy of being worshiped. Oh, praise the beautiful, mighty, powerful name of Jesus, the name above all names, that every one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord, and we will for eternity with the saints and the angels. Lord, we love you so much. We give you the praise. And everyone says, come on, church. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Amen.
Well, good morning. That's pretty good for this early in the morning. It is really good to be here. We just love you, church, and we appreciate so much the partnership. If we've never met before, my name is Bill Abler, but at camp it's Bob or Bill. And a lot of you know my wife, Lisa, who sends her greetings. Women have, again, overrun Camp Lebanon this weekend. It's the first of two mother-daughter weekends, and they're having a blast. But she wanted me to convey a very big thank you to the missionary fellowship who has been so generous in supporting our family and praying for Lisa and encouraged. So thank you so much. And Lisa transforms that blessing to a blessing to the rest of our women's staff. And so thank you so much for blessing us that way. Well, this morning I'd like to real quickly give you five reasons why you can be excited about what God's doing at your camp. You're one of the 20 churches that owns camp. If you've never been there, it's just get on 71, go south, take a left at Long Prairie, and pretty much you're there. Just about 100 miles away, God's given you a beautiful campus down there at camp. This is the loon flying over at 3,000 feet, not even that high, but it's just a beautiful, pretty much all that you see there is Camp Lebanon. Just a gorgeous spot. We're thankful, first of all, for partners like Faith Bridge. You can see famous people come to Camp Lebanon, so how about that? You pray, you come, you give, you send, you volunteer, you do so many things, and we are very grateful for churches like you that help us out. Another reason, number two, we praise God, is for 75 years. Woo-hoo, right? Last year we celebrated 75 years of ministry, and I've not been there for all of them. But next year will be half of them. That's what was kind of amazing reality. But it's just been a great work. And, you know, God's doing great things at your camp. There's just, this is the old dining hall. They said it was pretty intense, you know, experience going to, it's come a long way since those years. And there's just so many, that's what camp looked like when I first started going to camp. And just a beautiful place. And that's the main hall. It always bothered me. You see that on the left side there, the boards don't line up. It bothered me as a kid. Why don't they fix that? But anyway, I'm in this picture. I'm the second from the left, the kid with the white twin sweatshirt on. It's my mom and her dog, and half of my family is right there. So camp has meant a lot to our family, and there's the big celebration that we had on the 75th last August. A third reason to praise God for your camp is for what happened last year, 12,273 guests, which is about the same number of guests that we had in 2019 before COVID came. So we thank the Lord for a full recovery. And God brought us through in ways I can't even tell you. It's such a blessing. Last year we just had a lot of people, and 1,800 kids that came to camp, and over 800 family campers, and of course a lot of women and seniors and all kinds of fun stuff. A fourth reason to praise God for your camp is this year, what God is doing. This happens to be the Beaver Point Boardwalk. And the DNR gave us permission to build that little walkway out there. It is really cool. And this year comes the grand finale. You're going to have to come and see it. But we're thankful for that. Started with a really good winter camp. The quilters came, 440 of them in the month of March. And that was exciting. We just had Men's Advance not too long ago. And we had, it took us 2 weekends to get there. But we had 155 guys, which is a record. And then just last weekend was dads and lads. This is the year before. You can see the ice on the lake. And there was ice this year for those polar dippers. And it is mother-daughter. Here we go. Woo-hoo. And 2 weekends of that. And then the seniors are coming. You got to come celebrate your birthday. You're about the right age, too. So that's good. I have now qualified. I got my Medicare card. So I'm an official member of the group. So here we go. And then YAR, that's the young adult retreat for 18 to 35-year-olds, single or married. And they have a weekend coming up not too far away, so you can check that out. And then this summer we have family camp. And just so you know, there's still a little bit more room for you, but not a whole lot, like this canoe. This is in a canoe race. They did get back, believe it or not. They just finished last. But they had the most fun, so I guess they won. But family camp is coming, and it's filling up. And then we have our youth camp. The youth camps are filling faster than ever. We are at 95% capacity of our summer youth camps. It's exciting. And it's sad because there's a lot of kids that are just starting to figure out summer's coming. And we wish we could get them all in camp. But if you're thinking about camp, if you have friends that might want to come or somebody in your neighborhood or a grandkid, you better hurry up. It's going to be an amazing summer as we talk about the living word, which is Jesus. The fifth reason to be excited, it's gym time. We've been dreaming about this for years and years and years. Kevin, I think back, we were probably talking about when you're on the board, right? Long time ago, and it's time, whoops, and there it is, that's what it's going to look like. There's a nice commons in front with a full-size regulation high school gym in the back, and you can see there's a stage, so it's going to be our big chapel, and it's going to be amazing. There's a climbing wall, and I could spend a lot of time. But in your folder, there's a card. It has all the camp dates on it, so you can pray for us. On the back side, there's details about the gym and the floor plan. And we're also happy to report that this $2.5 million that's going to take to build it, we're at 96%. So we praise God for that. We have just under $100,000 to go. And if you'd like to help us get there, there's some information on the back as far as how you can help us. It's just a really big moment to see this coming together. And we praise God for that. And our staff says, thank you. This happens to be the camp board breaking ground for the gym. And it's just an amazing thing. All right. Well, enough about camp. Let's talk about the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the blessing that is ours to come together in your name, to open up your word and through your spirit, discover your truth that you have for us today. Help us to understand your will so we can bring you great joy and honor in how we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of our message is today, When Trouble Comes, Sing Loud. There's some notes in your folder if you want to follow along. It's the tan sheet in there. But I just want to, as we get started here, there are going to be four statements. And they all have the same answer. So I'm going to teach you the answer in case we lose you someplace along the way. You know what the sermon was about. All right, the answer is the same. And the answer is, praise God! We've been doing that now with this beautiful music. I mean, every song was a worship praise God song. I don't know if you caught that or not. So, I want you to practice the answer. One, two, three, praise God! And praise God in the biblical way involves your hands. I'm sorry, but that's just biblical. All right? And actually, in the text we're going to look, it was a lot more than just raising your hands. It was lying flat up. You're on your face on the ground, but we won't have you do that. But you at least go like this. One, two, three, praise God! All right, that's the answer to every question we're going to ask you today. All right, so we're good to go. No. So, bad news comes in a lot of different forms, and you know that. All right? We've all faced bad news. Sometimes it comes like a phone call that I received just a little over a month ago from one of our board members who told me that his dad had just had a brain aneurysm and was not expected to live, and he passed away the next day. He was a 20-year member on the board, just a tremendous friend, and I miss him already so much. And that was just such sad news. Sometimes the sad news comes sitting in a dentist chair, which happened to me on St. Patrick's Day. My mouth is killing me. I had my cheek was swollen and it was just not good. And the dentist opened my mouth. It took him 20 seconds to say, you have a cracked tooth. It's infected and it's got to come out. Like, second opinion? No, right now. Oh, man, that was fun. Sometimes the bad news comes in the form of a hurricane. Like for my mom. Remember Hurricane Ian that hit down there down in Florida the last fall? My mom has they have a home in Cape Coral, which is right in the bullseye of where the hurricane came ashore. And it did a really big mess. A 9-foot surge came down the canal and came into the house, and you could just imagine the mess, right? Sometimes it comes that way. Sometimes the bad news comes in the form of a scout, and that's what happens here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along or just listen real well. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have Israel in a kind of a big-time crisis. They just don't know it quite yet. The king was King Jehoshaphat. So some of you thinking about having babies, consider that for a name, right? Just imagine what they could do with that at school, right? Jehoshaphat was the king. He was, for the most part, a righteous king. In chapter 18, he kind of goofed up with an alliance. In chapter 19, he assembled the leaders of people. He put appointed judges and kind of brought the people back to the Lord. In chapter 20, the king is sitting in his hot tub in Jerusalem. We're not really sure what he was doing, but they were living pretty comfortably at the time. They were at rest, but there was some stuff happening. And what was happening, let's just kind of get the picture here. You're sitting in the Dead Sea. No correlation to you, obviously. But you're sitting in the Dead Sea, right? And Jerusalem would be right about here. So the capital of the city where the hot tub is sitting right here, and King Jehoshaphat is in it. On the backside are some enemies. And their enemies are described in here as Moab, Ammon, and the Edomites. Moab was over there, so you just say the backside of the seats. Moab's over there, Ammon's over there, and on the south side of the Dead Sea are the Edomites. And these guys decided that this is their big moment. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites, these are ancient enemies of Israel. They align themselves, and they're going to do a sneak attack. And so they join together, and they're coming around the Dead Sea. They're coming up this way, and they're just about 20 miles from Jerusalem when the scout shows up in the king's palace. And that's where we pick up the story. And he said in verse 2, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. And Jehoshaphat, of course, was afraid. Wouldn't you be? I mean, this is really bad news. They're at En Gedi, which is kind of a special spot for David. But En Gedi is about halfway up the Dead Sea on your way to Jerusalem. Just a 20-mile walk now, and that's where they are. The scout comes running in. So the king in verse 3 proclaimed a fast. And it'd have to be a fast, because they didn't have a whole lot of time. But a fast was a time where they just kind of set stuff aside to focus on the Lord and to worship and to pray, because they were in trouble. So he gathered all the people from Judah and all the cities around, and they gathered in the temple to worship and to pray and to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the assembly of Judah. By the way, if you ever need a prayer template to pray when you're in trouble, this is a really good prayer. It's amazing. Jehoshaphat stands in the house of the assembly, and he says, "Oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the Lord? Are you not the God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." And so when bad news comes, what do you do? When bad news comes, what do you do? No, we don't want to. See, when bad news comes, we want to go like this to God sometimes. And that's putting it mildly for some. We just really have a lot of questions and doubt. But in this big moment, he was afraid. But he got his people together. And chapter 19 says how they've been kind of preparing for this moment. And they came together and they praised God. He honors. He says, "Oh Lord, you're the God of our fathers, the God in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms." And so in this moment, he remembers God. And he leads his people in this prayer. He remembers their promises. Verse 7, "Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people?" I mean, remember what you've done. And they have lived in it. They have this sanctuary in it. This temple, back when Solomon was the king and he dedicated the temple, there was a promise that went with it. In verse 9, "If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, and you'll hear us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, heal their land." Right? You remember that promise? That's from Solomon in this temple. And now they claim this promise. And then he lays out the problem before the people, and then he ends the prayer in verse 13. He says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you." When the bad news comes, praise God. That's what he did. Praise God. And then they waited. And then God showed up. God did something. Verse 13, "Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Just picture this assembly. And I'm sure they were afraid. The enemy was not far away. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. It'd be like in this assembly, and we're in trouble, we're seeking the Lord's face, and we're waiting, and then the Spirit of God falls upon Kevin Harrelson. He's in the back, right? He's back. One man, the Spirit of God came upon one person. His name was Jahaziel in this text. He was one of the Levites. He might have been a choir guy, for what it kind of looks like. I know, they're special, right? Close to God, right? But anyway, Jehaziel, and verse 15, he stands up and says, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid." Remember, they were afraid? So God always starts with, he says, "Do not be afraid." And do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Isn't that a great word? Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, which is about 15 miles away. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. By the way, this is what Moses told the Israelites when they're standing on the Red Sea, and here come the Egyptians, and there's the Red Sea. Ah, right? There's a panic moment. Praise God. Right there he is. Remember who God is, and that's what he tells them here. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Yeah! Right? So when the answer comes, what do you do?
Praise God!
Praise God! That's exactly what they did. Look at this. Verse 18, and Joshua bowed with his head, with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I mean, he's face flat on the ground, right? Worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites, these are the choir guys, the Kohites and the Korahites, they stood up and they to praise the Lord. Let me tell you, the power of Scripture is in the detail. It says they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. It wasn't just like, whoopee, you know what I mean? Whoopee. It was, praise God! Yes! Here's the answer. No, they hadn't won yet. So this is faith. The enemy's still just 15, 20 miles away. But it's, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That's kind of hard to do when you're in the middle of the fight or the struggle. But the answer came. And when the answer comes, you praise God. That's right. Well, time for the battle. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah. By the way, we need an army. Where's our army? You're not in the army. You just said, army, come on up. We need some volunteers quickly to be an army. All right, here, stand right here, army. Anybody else want to join the army? All right, this is your big chance, all right? All right, so the army, here comes the army. We could use a few more. You don't have to be a kid. Just have to be brave. Anybody brave out there? All right, here comes somebody brave. Here we go. Don't mess with grandmas, okay? Here we go. All right. This, by the way, one of these ends is really sharp. Don't hurt yourself. Okay, here you go. Nice sweatshirt. Here. All right. So, here's it. Okay, Jahaziel is with us. Here you go. All right, nice straight line. Soldiers. Okay. All right. Where did I put my Bible? There it is. All right, so this is our army. These are their javelins. See, they're sharp. Don't hurt anybody. Kevin, you got to get in line. You're out of... There you go. So, and you guys are a little disorganized, so I'm going to teach you a few things. This is at ease. So put your javelin down like this. And that's ten. Chuck! At ease. Ten. Chuck! Well, I was a little slow. At ease. Ten. Chuck! Okay, this is our army. Ho-ho! We're going to do this. And so it's time for the battle. Right? And when you go to war or any kind of battle, you lead with your strength, wouldn't you? So if this were a real battle, who would you put in the front of your army? I mean, like if we're going to go take on Canada and we're going to put an army together, who would we put in the front? The biggest guy. The guy holding the bazookas or the air to, you know, the surface-to-air missiles or the tanks, right? You lead with your strength. Look at what happens here. All right, this is amazing. Verse 20, they get up early, which is a really good way to go. You're at the first service, right? And then Joshua, he gets them together. He has his little pep fest like a coach. He says, believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe in the prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he did something really strange. He called for the choir. Okay, worship team, here we go. This is amazing. This is a really strange way to fight. All right, here you go. Except you have to be in front over here. Here. Come stand in front of the army. Come on, choir, stand over here. This is amazing. All right, so here's the army. You're going into battle, and you lead with your strength. So they pulled out the worship team. And they put the worship team in. It wasn't to bang them with a guitar, but it was to praise God. See, when the battle comes, what do you do? Praise God. That was kind of wimpy. When the battle comes, you praise God. And that's what they're going to do here. And you know what they sang? It's right here in Scripture. They pulled out a Chris Tomlin song. And they sang, give thanks to the Lord. How does it go?
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever.
That's right. That's kind of how it goes. And we'll sing it later.
His love endures forever.
All right, stop. Hang on. Sing, pray. But anyway, that's what they did. They had the army, and then they get the band. And then look at the details of Scripture. That's what they sang. They said, give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. This, by the way, is the Israelites' national anthem. You can take this song, and if you want a really cool Bible study sometime, trace it all the way through. It goes back before Solomon. Right? It's just amazing. This is a great song in a time of trouble or time of worship. And then verse 22 says this, and when they began to sing, the details, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Now, if you've heard me sing, you can understand why the melody can be a weapon, like that one song says, right? Bam, right? But that's not what happened here. But when God's people started praise, God started to move in an amazing way, and they set an ambush. The Moabites and Ammonites beat up on the Edomites. And then the Ammonites and the Moabites turned against each other and beat each other up. That's what God did. And so by the time the army shows up, there's only dead people. So when you go into battle, what do you do?
Praise God.
Thank you, choir and army. You guys can come over here, grab a prize over here. You can take a Dum Dum or one of these cool Camp Lebanon hanky thingies. So help yourself. They're really cool. Hey, would you thank this army for us? Didn't you feel secure with that army up here? Thank you. Enjoy it. They're really cool, those hankies. So, you know, when the bad news comes, you praise God, and then God sends an answer, and you praise God. You go into battle, and you praise God in the front. That's faith. It says there's a little quote on the bottom. It says that gratitude or worship is the ultimate expression of a genuine faith. If you can praise God before the victory comes, that's what faith is. You praise God. And God starts to work in an amazing way, and then we got to be done here, but this is how it ends. Verse 24, when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. They did not have to fight. They had to show up. They had to obey, and they did. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them great numbers of goods, clothing, precious things, which they took for themselves, until they could carry no more. I mean, there was such a prize, such a treasure, a provision that God has in this battle for these people. It took 3 days for them to gather all the stuff. And what do you suppose they did on the fourth day? When victory comes, what do?
Praise God.
You praise God with a loud voice. What do you do when victory comes?
Praise
God. And that's what they did. They praised God. On the fourth day, verse 26, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Baraka till that day. Baraka means praise. It's the Valley of Praise. And then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem. That's a detail. There's no casualties in this battle. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat, their head. And where do you suppose they went? First stop wasn't home, wasn't Walmart, it was the temple. That's where they went. They went with joy. I was thinking, there'll be joy in the house of the Lord. Joy. So I woke up this morning singing that song. I couldn't get it out of my head. But it's what it was. There's joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over the enemies. And then they came to Jerusalem. They got the whole band together, harps, lyres. It was all there, the guitars and the drums. And they marched into Jerusalem, they gathered all the people together, and they praised God. So when bad news comes, and for you guys, there's bad news that's going to come. It just keeps coming. I can tell you story after story after story after story. Life is broken. We're living in a really crazy culture. It's even hard. Churches, ministries are stressed. Our government, our politics, my brother Jim is a state senator. He happens to be a Republican, and it's always 33 to 34. And the consequences of that is really tough. And my brother, I saw him at Dad's and Lad's, and he looked like a tank had just run over him. He is so beat up and bruised, but he's trying to be faithful. But it's tough. There's bad news. But when it comes, what do you do again? What do you do?
Praise God.
And that's what I do. The band's going to come as we kind of close here. Let me just tell you about my mom's house in Florida. All right, it had to be kind of redone from the inside. It's a long story. But, you know, 2 days after the hurricane hit, and we're watching the pictures. She was in Minnesota. Her house is in Florida. My mom just turned 96. So it's a pretty traumatic thing for my dear old mom. And she called me up, and we were talking about what was going on. And she says, Billy, she can call me whatever she wants. She's mom. Happy Mother's Day next week. Billy, tell me something good. And I thought just for a second, I said, you know, you're going to look back on this and you're going to say, you're going to see the goodness of God. And we can. We can stand here today, look backwards on that hurricane. What God did to take care of her and be able to get her back to Florida in her house was nothing short of a miracle. But you know, God is good. Whatever the outcome is, we can trust him. That's who he is. So I'm not sure where you're at or what you're going through today. But why don't you just stand and we're just going to give praise to the Lord. Maybe the bad news has just come. Or maybe you just heard an answer. Or maybe you're just called into the battle. It's time to fight this thing through. Or you got to go back to the dentist like I have to do for another tooth now. Praise God. Or maybe it's time to celebrate the victory. But give thanks to the Lord for he is good.
Give thanks to the Lord. Our God and King,
come on.
His love endures forever, forever. Yeah.
What a great word. I just wanted to just share one final thought here that I was thinking, and Pastor Jeff will close our in service with prayer. But I just want to make sure that, you know, we've kind of had fun with this, a very terrible time for Jerusalem, and I don't want to downplay or belittle anybody's struggle here or pretend that it's easy to praise God in the middle of a storm. But it's his command. In everything, the Bible says give thanks. That's worship, right? And somehow God inhabits the praises of his people. You shared that earlier. And it's true. They're just something. And it's God's provision for us in this moment is to worship and to praise him. So let's do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob or Bill, for that wonderful reminder. That in all circumstances, we are to what? Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Because as we praise God in the midst of whatever circumstances, we are acknowledging our dependence and reliance on him. Amen? Because he is faithful and he is good. And so we give praise to that. And besides, it is our responsibility as sons and daughters of the Most High to give praise to our King. Amen? Because why? We are the church. We love God, we love others, and we're all in. Amen. Amen. I want to say a special word of prayer over our brother Bill. And it's a wonderful blessing to be in ministry partner with you as one of your churches. So, Father, we just pray for Bill and his team, and we pray for this season of summer camp that's coming up, Lord, and all of the activities, Lord. And God, it's not about the numbers for the number's sake. It's about opportunities, Lord, to touch lives with the gospel and the good news, Lord, that will transform lives eternally. And so, God, we just pray for great blessing. We pray for great strength and perseverance for the staff and for all of the students and adults that are going to be coming to the campus at Camp Lebanon. We pray, Lord, specifically for the fulfillment of the pledge drive to raise that remaining $95,000, Lord. That, God, that you can see that vision come to life as that's going to increase the capacity and the ability of the camp to serve our community. And, Lord, we just entrust them to you. We pray for Bill and Lisa, Lord. We just pray your blessing upon their marriage, their family, Lord, as they serve you, as they've dedicated their lives to you there at Camp Lebanon, Lord. And we just pray that you would continue to be glorified in them and through them. Thank you for our time with him this morning. Thank you for our time together in singing praise to your name, no matter our circumstances, Lord. May we give you all the glory in all God's people said. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to join us for a time of fellowship in the gym. Have a blessed day. We'll see you next weekend.